to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Amen. Did you bring your Bible? Go to Romans chapter number 12, and we'll start there this evening. But I just want to mention again the event coming up Sunday, the Easter extravaganza. That's an outreach, as I've shared many times when we have outreaches. It's going to be a different kind of a service. We're focused on the guests and the visitors and people we have and meeting their spiritual need where they are. We usually pull it down a little bit lower, you know, meaning a little simpler preaching, not as deep doctrinally, but it's targeting where they are, you know. And the primary purpose is to get people into the kingdom of God and get them born again. Amen. And the Easter eggs are just the bait on the hook. You know what I mean? And so, but we're going to have a good time. And I just wanted you to remind you, you probably don't need a reminder at this point, but just remind you that, you know, you can help us be cordial toward our guests and show the love of God. And you can, you know, greet them and make them feel welcome. And then also, you know, maybe give them the preferential seats closer to the front, that kind of thing. And just make them really feel like we love them. Amen. Because we really do, don't we? We want to see them get into the kingdom of God. And so I know you'll come and be ready. Pray for the event. Pray for utterance. Believe God for, you know, hearts to be open. Bind the enemy from blinding people's eyes to their need for Jesus. And just bring a supply in the spirit as well as in the natural. Amen. As I can exhort you a little bit as a pastor just to do that. Amen. We're just focused on them. You might say, well, I have a need in this area, in that area. Well, help somebody else get their need met, and God will make sure your need's met. Amen. Amen. So, and then, I know you'll do that. You're well trained by this time. Amen. So, but in Romans chapter number 12, I want you to notice, let's start reading in verse number 10. It says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, so forth and so on. I want you to notice verse 11, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit, King James says. Spirit, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The centenary translation says, be glowing in spirit. Amen. The Weymouth translation says, have your spirits aglow. You know, you and I are three-part beings. And this is what it means when the Bible talks about being on fire for God. He's talking about keeping the glow of the Spirit in your spirit. The Goodspeed translation says, be on fire with the Spirit. Be on fire. Remember whenever the Holy Ghost fell? On the day of Pentecost, it appeared as cloven tongues like as of
fire.
Fire. Fire. Amen. You know, when people catch fire, they get, woo. Yeah.
Amen.
I heard a minister tell a story one time. He and his wife were out for dinner over a nice candlelight restaurant. And I guess his wife reached over the candle to get some bread off of his plate. She thought she was far enough away from the candle, but her sweater caught fire. And so she pulled her arm back, and she realized she's like, and she jumped up, and she's hitting it, and she. And her husband, after he was sure she was okay, started laughing and said, "That's what it's like when you catch fire." Amen. It changes you. You know, I said to you on Sunday, I mentioned that the Lord's put it in my heart that there's a new phase here at the church of training the church about some things concerning the move of the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You remember 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 talks about, now concerning spirituals, King James says spiritual gifts, I think, but concerning, the literal Greek says, concerning spirituals, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. That just simply means things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. So we're going to start talking more about things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Because this is a word and...
Spirit.
Okay, three people knew it over here. This is a word and...
Spirit.
That's the first time they beat you over here.
Amen. No, we don't want to just be a word people, but Holy Ghost people. Holy Ghost people. When the Spirit wants to move, we just move with Him. And here's one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do for us is He'll keep us on fire for God. On fire. That just means we're thrilled with God, excited about the things of God. They're alive to us. And we keep on maintaining this glow of the Spirit. In fact, that's the way the Moffat's translation says. I didn't give you that one. It says, maintain the spiritual glow. You know, when your face is all drawn, looks like you've been sucking on dill pickles. Or maybe they baptized you in vinegar or something, you know. That's not maintaining the spiritual glow. You know, why would somebody in the world want what we got if we're all just mad because, you know, this isn't going right in the government and this isn't going right in Hollywood and these people are mad and so we're all mad and depressed. People wouldn't want what we got. But when we got this glow, this spiritual glow about us, and we're on fire, like the Goodspeed says, on fire with the Spirit. There's one of our instructors in Rhema. He said this. He said, if you catch fire, he said, people will come watch you burn. They'll come watch you burn. You know, revival in our lives ought to be a constant thing. You remember the Bible said there in Acts, what is that? I have it written down here somewhere, where Peter mentioned, I think I got it in my iPad here. He mentioned in Acts 3, verse 19, that times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. You realize that if you read the Bible carefully, and we're going to look at some of them, these things tonight, those times of refreshing can be any time you want them to be. Doesn't have to be where we're waiting for a refreshing from God. Well, there are refreshings that can take place anytime you're ready to tap into it by faith. Remember Jesus said, in fact, let's go over here. The seventh chapter of the book of John, Jesus made this statement. This would be another verse that you should get underlined in your Bible. We're talking about things that pertain to the Holy Spirit. You know, in tests and trials, you're going to John 7, but in tests and trials, I found this about me, and I'm thinking you're probably like me. Anybody in here human? Anybody in here got things that you go through, tests or trials? Dr. Dufresne used to talk about Sister Bucket Mouth, you know, she's talking about you, you know. Or whatever. There's a lot of different kinds of tests and trials. But you and I need, there's all kinds of things in the world to take stuff out of you, to empty you out. You know what I mean? Take life and joy and all the things of the Spirit, take it out of you. But the thing about God is He knew we would need that, and He gave us a method of getting refilled. We experience things just like the world experiences it, but what is different about us is we can get filled back up again. We can get filled out, whatever drained out, whatever leaked out, whatever dripped out. Or some people I've met, it just flowed out and just totally, it just gone. Whatever went out can be filled back up. You can get filled back up with whatever you got, that whatever went out of you. Yes, you can. Tell your neighbor, I've been looking at you, and you need something more. You need to get filled back up again. Amen. You need something in tests and trials that'll put you over in life. You know, the sevenfold meaning of the Holy Spirit word, I mean, the Bible, Jesus mentioned the word, the comforter. I'll not leave you helpless. I'll send the comforter. The Amplified brings out the sevenfold meaning of that, and one of them is standby. You know, remember, strengthener, helper, advocate, intercessor, all these things, strength. And standby was one of them, standby. Well, that reminds me of my dad's Chrysler 300, I believe it was.
I don't think it was a 69. I think it was over into the 70s, 72 or something like that. Big old green Chrysler boat. I mean, huge old things. I never forget, you get in that car, and you can push the gas pedal a little bit, and it'll go. But you just push it all the way to the floor, and you'd hear that. It'd go, and it'd go like that. It's called a four-barrel carburetor. And even in third gear, you could squeal the tires. Shoot, man, that carburetor, whenever it's kicked in, it just shoo, take off. It was there the whole time, just standing by. Just waiting for you to hit a hill, or you're passing somebody, and here comes a car. You need a boom, and you hit that thing, and it was just standing there waiting on you, just when you needed it, and you could kick it in, and man, Pastor Debbie has a story about a car she had one time that had a little electronic transmission control button that you could control, reset the transmission on the fly. You could reset it, and it just make it a race car. I mean, yeah. It was a Lexus. And she was going around, maybe I better not tell the whole story, but she wasn't making a wise passing move. And here comes a car. So she just rushed down and pew like that. And that thing almost fishtailed to get around that. Hallelujah. Some of you are like, okay, I'm going to go home on the internet and I'm going to look up that car. I need that, Pastor. I need that. Okay. But see, in the trials of life, there's someone standing by. There's someone down on the inside. He's called the greater one. Whenever the headwinds of life hit you and something's coming at you, there's someone in you that's greater. Greater. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I on Sunday morning, I had to confess to somebody that I passed on the highway. Because I wasn't going very fast, but you just kind of creep by them, you know, and you look out the other window so they don't see you. But I told them, I got to get this service back. I'm losing it. But I knew they probably saw me, so I came to church and I said, I passed you on the highway. They said, yeah, I saw you. And I said, but I have scripture for it. Yeah, I came with a word from God for this congregation. It was big on the inside of me, and the Bible said, the word of the Lord runs swiftly. It said. And all the young preachers went. Praise the Lord, anyhow. But aren't you glad there's someone on the inside? just anything you need to put you over. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, he'll rise up, but you got to tap into it. You got to. Just like you got to hit the accelerator if you got that four-barrel carburetor or something. He's just waiting. It's not him that has to do something. It's us that has to tap into him. You remember, what is it? It's 2 Timothy 1:6. It talks about stir up the gift of God that is in you. I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. The Amplified says, fan the flame, the inner fire. See, that's the understood subject is you and me. Amen. Well, I've just been so down lately. I don't feel like God's, don't feel like I'm saved. Just don't feel like anything's happening. Just don't feel like God's been talking to me much lately. Well, get full again. Amen. Get filled up again. Well, how do I do that? Well, we'll get to it. Ephesians is where it's at. Be not drunk with wine. Be being continually filled. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's how you get filled back up. I said, that's how you get filled back up.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, go back here to John. I had you turn to John 7. Is that right? It says in Jesus in verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and do what?
Drink.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What's he talking about? Well, he knew you'd ask, so he gave us verse 39. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he said, if you're thirsty, drink. Take a drink. You know, the infilling of the Spirit is not supposed to be a one-time thing for us. Now, Ephesians says that. If you really look at the Greek in the Ephesians 5 passage, remember, it says in verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Greek actually says continually filled. Be being, literally, be continually filled. Why would, if a Christian ever got filled, why would they need to be continually filled? Well, like I say, the Christians leak. You know, you go through a test or a trial that has a way of taking something out of you. Yeah, it's not necessarily that you've done anything wrong, but the point is, you can go through tests or trials, or really anything in life, you can go through it in other words, you can continually get filled back up, so you really never really get empty. Remember, Jesus came out of the wilderness in Luke 4. He was tempted of the enemy 40 days. We have record of three of the temptations. 40 days is going through it, you know, that's a period of time. But Jesus, the very next verse, that was chapter 4, was it? The very next verse, he talks about, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, came out of the wilderness and he went into the temple. Yeah. He went through all that and stayed full.
Yeah, he did. Amen.
He stayed full. In other words, that didn't empty him out. Amen. I said that didn't empty him out. Things can start taking something out of you, but you can just get it right, you can get filled right back up. I said, you can get filled right back up. Praise the Lord. I like that. I'm so glad God had that in. He knew we would need. You know, if God thought we would never need it, he wouldn't have provided this. But he knew we would need this. He knew we would constantly need refreshing, constantly need refilling. You know, people over there in Ephesians, it said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. People that are in the world don't have what we have. All they have is a cheap substitute. So when they go to the bottle, you know, you can't hardly blame them. That's all they got. I don't have problems as much with the world that goes to the bottles as I do the Christians that have. They're going to the bottle. You've got, the Christians have the real, what the devil has given the world is a cheap substitute, and it's not real. It's the substitute. I'll take the real. I'll take what God intended. God understands that, things come up in life. The Bible didn't say you and I won't have tests or trials. John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. The book of Psalms says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But neither of those verses stop there. Jesus went on to say, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. There's a way to get through it. There's a way to get to the other side. We talk about faith, and rightly so. But how about faith to take another drink and get filled back up again for whatever that test or trial takes out of you? Use your faith to get filled back up. Praise the Lord. That's what God provided for you and me. And so, people get on soapbox, preachers get on soapboxes about the world, and people, they shouldn't be drinking and all that. Listen, they're just trying to make it through. That's all they got. Now, we have the real to offer to them, and we should be offering it to them. But sometimes they're not listening. So, what do we do? Well, we just keep on showing them the real. And you realize a full man never really goes to alcohol. I'm talking about a Christian now. A man who's constantly filled, he doesn't need that stuff. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. Tell your neighbor. He's preaching pretty good, whether you're agreeing with it or not. Amen. You're settling for something that'll never really get you full. It'll never really, you know, be not drunk with wine, the Bible says, but be being filled. That's an ongoing experience, isn't it? And he told us how to be filled, be continually filled speaking. Now, in tongues, yes, but in this passage in Psalms here, he's talking about in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There are levels that you can go in your filling. You can start out just reading the word and get filled up. Remember the book of Jeremiah, and what is it, the 15th chapter? Jeremiah said, "Thy words are found. I did eat them. They're unto me the joy and the joy, rejoicing of my heart." So you can just be feeding on the word and get happy. I did it this morning. I was meditating on something, just started looking at it and just started chuckling up out of my spirit. It's like, oh, thank you, Lord. I just got happy. But I didn't stop there. I started then later praying in tongues and got filled up some more and then sang a couple songs. Praise the Lord. Psalms, hymns, and spirit. You realize that there are levels, you know, alcohol has a proof, you know, on it. You know, whatever proof. I don't know anything about it, to be honest with you. I don't really know much about it, but there's degrees of potency or something like that. Well, that's the way spiritual things are. There's degrees of potency. And you can keep on going to higher levels and get fuller and fuller. You can drink longer and get fuller. You know, don't just take a sip in the morning. If you got a hard day ahead of you, you need to just take a, you need to. Somebody said, what's wrong with you? I got a hard day ahead. God never intended for you to go through things sober. Really? Really? I'm talking about you should be full and under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Full people act different. Full people act different. How many of you know when a man is full, he forgets about, and he keeps buying more and he gets happier and happier. And, I'm buying for all this, everybody here, you know. He keeps putting money out. He's getting drunker and drunker. He keeps putting more money out. Isn't that right? And that's the way you'll be when you get drunk. You're like, oh, a third offering? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Let's do this thing. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. A spirit-filled man, a spirit-filled man always imparts something to people that are around him. Amen. You should be the kind of person that when people get around you, they enjoy your presence and your company. You and I, as believers, should not be people that whenever people get around us, they enjoy when we leave more than they enjoy when we show up. There ought to be something about us that we're not carrying the weight of the world, the weight of our problems. We're full of something other than what everybody else is full of. Because we've been drinking. Amen. I know it's funny, but it's true. We ought to be refreshing to be around. People ought to be refreshed when they get around us. Not refreshed when we leave, but refreshed when they get around us. There ought to just be something in us that's comforting, edifying, strengthening. Gets our focus back on the right things. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, whenever a person is full, and say he keeps himself ready for anything God wants to do in his life. He gets himself in a flow. When you and I stay full of the Spirit speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, like I say, there's levels of that. You can start out with the Word and then go to tongues and then go to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let me go back to that. You remember the Bible said, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Remember that verse? 1 Corinthians 14:5, I believe. Greater is he that prophesieth. What he's talking about is that's a greater anointing. If that's so, then there'd be a greater refreshing in that. I think some of us stop at just reading our Bible and maybe speaking in tongues a little bit. How about getting over into the greater flow? If it's greater, it'll refresh you more. It'll edify. See, when you're speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which is what Ephesians 5 talks about, when you're speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you're doing that under the unction of the Holy Spirit, out of your spirit, the Holy Spirit giving you the utterance in a known tongue. And it is by the spirit of prophecy. The Bible said, you and I may all prophesy. We're not all prophets, but we can all prophesy. That doesn't mean predicting, you know, Russia's going to do this and, you know, Israel's going to do this. That's predicting the future. Prophecy just means speaking to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And guess what? If that's true, then you should do that for yourself.
Amen.
I'll take that. Yeah, and that's really one of the first purposes of prophecy is to edify yourself. Ephesians 5 said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be being filled continually with the Holy Ghost by speaking in these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs.
Amen.
In other words, he didn't say, well, let me reverse and say it this way. He said, basically, if you read it carefully, he's saying you initiate that. He didn't say that is as the Spirit wills. This is a diversity. Remember, the Bible said there are diversities, but you know, there are many offices, and there's diversity in all the offices. There's diversity in all the gifts. There's diversity in prophecy. Some prophecy is as the Spirit wills. Because it's edifying in a public setting. Some prophecy, you can initiate it yourself. Or else Ephesians 5 needs to be, 18, 19 needs to be torn out of your Bible. If that's not true. Is everybody still here tonight? The Lord said, train this congregation in the things of the Spirit. This is part of this. Hallelujah. And so we're not to be ignorant of spiritual things. We're talking about Ephesians 5 is edification for your own life, and that's not as the Spirit wills. The Bible said, you don't be drunk. This is a commandment for you and me. You and me are not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but we're commanded to be continually filled by speaking in psalms. Well, if that's as the Spirit wills, then I can't always obey that. Are you still there? You're going home. He said, be continually. He didn't say, well, as the Spirit wills, you know, every third week or whatever.
Come on.
What am I going to do? Well, am I going to be dry between when he wills and when he doesn't will? No, he said, be continually filled and refilled with the Holy Ghost speaking in song. In other words, you can initiate that. You can stir that up yourself. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. Fan the flame. That's why Romans said, be aglow with the Spirit. Glory. You don't have to wait on God to initiate that. Sometimes he will, don't misunderstand me, but you don't have to wait on that. And guess what else you don't have to wait on? You don't have to wait on Sunday morning. You don't have to wait on Wednesday night. You don't have to wait until the band really gets going up here. Oh, I'm getting full. Well, what about Monday, Tuesday? It'll affect your faith to always depend on somebody else to get the anointing flowing for you. Adversely affect your faith. Be a person that steps into this flow by an act of your faith on your own. Nobody getting the band going. Nobody getting the music going. I'm not criticizing music. It's a help. How many of you know it's a help? I'm just simply saying, don't put all your faith in somebody else helping you get in this flow.
Amen. Yeah. Yep. Amen.
Amen. It'll tap into it by your faith. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, come and drink.
Yes, sir.
So how often can you do it? Anytime you're thirsty for it. Anytime you're thirsty for it. How much should you drink? Well, when it comes to alcohol, you can drink so much that it starts affecting your family, your marriage, your kids, your money. It'll ruin your life. That's why he said, don't be drinking in excess. But he said, be filled with the Spirit. How many of you know where there is no excess?
You will not become stupider, if I can use that word, you know. When you keep drinking of the Spirit, you'll be drinking of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. You'll get more sound. And you realize to be filled with the Spirit doesn't mean you're walking around laughing all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just that. I call it the Jesus bubbly. Starts coming up out of your spirit. You just get that Jesus bubbly. And you're actually looking forward to your day. Rather than getting up in the morning and the alarm goes off, boom. Oh, I got to see that. I got to go to that job. Yeah.
Come on.
If you'll get full again,
before
you know it, you'll be ready for it.
Yes, come on.
Even though there's people there that are not full, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Are we getting any help tonight? Praise God. And so there'll be something flowing out of us when we stay full. We will not need to eke out a flow. We'll just have gotten into the flow. Do you realize the Holy Spirit's always moving? It's not a matter of we've got to move the Holy Spirit. This is not moving the Holy Spirit per se. It's simply yielding to the Holy Spirit and getting in the flow that He's already in. He's already in the flow. He is the flow. Hallelujah. But our job is to yield. I said our job is to yield. And you can initiate that. Well, if I ever dance, it'll be the Lord. No, it won't. It'll be you. It'll be you. Praise the Lord. The Bible said, count it all joy when you fall in the diverse test. So when you're in a test and trial, you can, if you look up the word count, it just means put it to your account that you're full of joy. Put it to your account means you might not feel like you're full of joy, but you just put it to your account that you are. So you're in a test and trial, and it's not joy because the Bible said there is no joy in tests and trials, but you can count it joy. You're not getting your joy from the test and trial. You're getting your joy from the one who puts you over in the test and trial and from the truth you know. So count it all joy. And so when you're doing that and you get in a test and trial, you can just go by yourself if you have to, if people around don't understand, and you just go, woo, thank you, Lord. I always triumph in Christ. And you start edifying yourself and you start drawing up the greater one on the inside of you. And it pushes all that oppression that's trying to get in your mind and your, you know what I'm talking about? It pushes all that back out. If I got a garden hose or maybe a fire hose or something, and the water's on, it's hard to get something pushed in there when that water's constantly coming out. Isn't that right? If you want to get something into that hose and stop it up, you got to turn the water off. Kink it or something. And that's the way you and I, what he's saying is be continually filled. Out of your belly will flow. Out of your belly will flow. There's to be something always flowing out of you so that when the devil brings oppression, what's flowing out of you just keeps pushing it away from you. Just keeps pushing it away from you. Hallelujah. Oh, God thought about everything, didn't he? He thought about how to keep us from getting the devil's oppression inside. Whatever's coming against you out here can be kept from getting in here. How can it be kept from getting in here? By staying full. By constantly being filled to where out of your belly's flowing, out of your belly's flowing, out of your belly's flowing the answer, out of your belly's flowing the joy of the Lord, out of your belly's flowing the peace of God. Praise the Lord. But you have to yield to it. Yield does, in the natural, it sounds like a passive thing, but actually in the Greek, it means to do. If you look up where Jesus, remember Jesus at the wedding in the John 3, whatever Mary said, whatever he says to you to do, do it. That same word do it is also in the New Testament translated yield. So to yield doesn't mean stand passively by and do nothing. It means respond to the greater one on the inside. It means act on what's coming up out of the inside. Well, there's nothing coming up out of the inside, Pastor. All right, stir it up. Stir it up. Just because you know some things.
Father, I know. I know what the word says. So I know no weapon formed against me will prosper. Father, I want to thank you for that. I know this is coming against me, but I know what your word says. And so this is not going to prevail against me. I know I always triumph in Christ. I know greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And you start there, and eventually the Jesus bubbly starts bubbling up out of the inside of you. And he'll inspire you and he'll remind you of other verses and you'll go, oh, yeah. And before you know it, it's flowing, flowing, flowing. Amen. And you're just slap happy. And a few moments before, you were sad and depressed about the situation. Brother Hagin told a story about a lady that came. He was preaching close to where he lived at the time, close enough to where they came home every night and slept in their own bed. Because the meeting wasn't that far away. I think it was like 50 miles away or something like that. And so they were coming, rather than staying in a hotel at this particular meeting, they were staying at their house. And so they were getting home naturally because the meeting goes long, and then they fellowship with the pastors, and have something to eat, and then they drive home, and naturally they get into bed pretty late every night. But they weren't having morning meetings, so they're just going back over at the next night. So anyway, so, you know, because of that, they're getting to bed late, so they're sleeping in later. And so, but anyway, Brother Hagin said one morning at 8 o'clock or 8:30 in the morning, there was a knock on the door. He's sound asleep, knock on the door. And it was a lady that I believe was from the church he was still pastoring. If I remember right, he's still pastoring. I don't remember all the details, but it was a lady he knew anyway. Came knocking at the door and crying and wanted prayer because she's out of fellowship with God. And so Brother Higgins, he's, you know, trying to wake up. You know how it is when you're sleeping deep. You're trying to wake up and looks out there and he's in his pajamas. And of course, then she comes in and she's crying. I'm out of fellowship with God. And Brother Higgins said, well, the Lord will forgive you. He'll restore you. Let's get down here and we'll pray. And you tell the Lord what you did. And, you know, and the Lord will forgive you and so forth and so on, brother. And she said, well, that's it, just Brother Higgins. I just don't know anything I did. I don't know what it is that I'm out of fellowship with God. Brother Hagin said, what do you mean you don't know what it is? She said, I just don't feel the way I used to feel. Brother Hagin said, I think I got perturbed at her. You don't feel like you used to feel? Yeah, I just don't feel like I did when I first got saved and got the first feeling. You know what I'm talking about? I got saved... And within, it wasn't 12 hours. For the first 12 hours, it was like, I mean, the sun was brighter, the birds were chirping, and it was glorious. And then after 12 hours, that left. My brothers told me I wasn't really saved because I got mad at them. And that cloud came back over me. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I didn't lose my salvation. But I didn't know how to get the joy of the Lord back. I didn't know how to drink of what's inside of me. I didn't know all that back then. But see, you can't go by feelings. But this lady, she felt like she lost it. She thought maybe she lost fellowship with God or something like that. And so Brother Hagin's kind of perturbed at her. She just didn't feel like she used to feel. And Brother Hagin said, you mean you came all the way over here because you just don't feel like you're saved? And you don't know what you did to break fellowship with God? Yeah, Brother Hagin, I just don't know. And so Brother Hagin said, well, I don't feel right now like I'm saved either. You got me out of bed. I was sound asleep. You know, when you first wake up, you don't feel very saved. When you first are, you're groggy. You're coming out of that sleep. You know what I'm talking about. And Brother Hagin said, well, if I was going by feelings, I'd have you pray for me right now. He said, most of the time, whenever I go up to preach, I don't even feel like I'm saved. But I just start out by faith. She said, you feel like that sometimes too? He said, absolutely. Well, what do you do? She said. He said, you sit there and watch me. Because he's still groggy, you know. And so he just started saying, Father, I thank you. I'm your child. Hallelujah. I thank you that I'm born again. I thank you, Father, that the life of God has come into me. I thank you I'm born of the Spirit, and as many as are of the sons of God, they are, you know, they are the children of God, and they're led by the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the greater one. He lives in me, and he's rising up in me. I thank you, Father. He puts me over. And Brother Hagin started doing that, and all of a sudden something started bubbling up out of his own spirit, and he started laughing and saying things by inspiration. And she said, wait, your whole expression changed. And Brother Hagin said, exactly. I said, he said, you can dip into that anytime. That's inside of you, just like it's inside of me.
Amen.
And so she said, you mean I can just tap down inside like that and I can draw that out? Brother Hagin said, sure you can. And so she did, and she got happy and went out the door singing, forgot about prayer. She didn't even need the prayer after that.
Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, if you practice doing that, you don't have to even go to the preacher and have him pray for you. Glory be to God. That's called being staying aglow with the Spirit. Remember, we were talking on Sunday in Proverbs 20, verse number 5. There's things in your belly, but you got to draw them out. Let's wrap this up talking about yielding. What do you say? That word yield, it means to do. Do something. If any man's thirsty, Jesus said, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink. You can initiate that, but the way you initiate it is doing something. Ephesians tells you what to do, speaking to yourself. A lot of times right here is where the biggest leak is. The psalmist in Psalm 77, I believe it is, he said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You know how you get overwhelmed on the inside? By saying the wrong things right here. Well, if that's true, if saying the wrong things gets you empty and gets you overwhelmed spiritually, how many of you know the reverse would be true if you say the right things? When you come to tests and trials, you just say, Father, I thank you that you're bigger inside of me. The greater one lives on the inside of me. He's bigger than this thing. And you're going to give me wisdom and guidance. And you start saying what the Word says, and you start praising Him for it, and singing and praising Him by inspiration, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and He'll put you over it. But see, that's doing something. That's not sitting by waiting for the Holy Ghost to initiate something. That's what I meant when I said, if I ever dance, it'll be the Lord. No, it'll be you. It'll be you. You dance. He'll inspire you, but you do it. That's how you get edified. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
And if you will start yielding to the Holy Ghost, you'll get bigger than the thing that's coming against you, and everything around you will start yielding to you.
Amen.
You know, we go down to third world countries sometimes, down in Mexico. We've been down to Peru, Brazil. We've been overseas. Some places is like this. Africa is certainly like it. Street signs don't mean much. Stoplights don't mean much. Yield signs don't mean much. The lines on the highways don't mean much. In fact, I think they think the line on the highway means that's where your muffler is supposed to be centered on. You're supposed to have your muffler right on that line, you know. Pretty much the way they drive. But anyway, the thing about the way the system over there is the biggest guy, he gets to go through. I mean, if you get a big truck coming, you better give way to him. You know what I'm talking about? The biggest truck does what he wants in the traffic, and everything sort of yields to him. Well, that's the way things that are around you will respond to you if you'll get full of the bigger one. Did you get it? If you'll get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll be the big truck in the room. You'll be the big truck in the street. Amen. Because you've gotten bigger on the inside because of the greater one. See, the greater one lives in you, but he might not be living big in you or big through you. You got to draw him up out of the inside and let him be bigger than the situation that's coming against you. You know, if you're complaining and talking about the problem, it's what gets bigger in your life.
Yes, sir. Come on.
You know it just as well as I know it. The more you complain about it, the more you talk about how bad it is, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But when you stop talking about the problem and you start talking about the greater one and the power of God and the wisdom of God and how the greater one in you is able to put you over, he's my standby. He's going to strengthen me with might by his spirit in my inner man, and I'm going to go through a troop and run through a wall Greater is he that's in me. I can do all things. You start talking like that, the one who has been bigger on the inside of you all along starts rising up and being bigger, making you bigger than your situation. And all of a sudden, you're the big truck coming through, and so everybody yields to you, the test and the trial. Okay, I yield to you. Woo! Praise God. But you got to yield to the Holy Ghost before things around you will start yielding to you. Hallelujah. The Lord said this to me one time. He said, by every test and trial, you'll find that I'll put a yield sign there. Not yielding. He said, I don't put a yield sign there to teach you to yield to the test and trial. I put a yield sign there to show you the way into the flow of the greater one. When you come up to the highway, let's say you're getting on 380 tonight. Maybe some of you will, some of you won't. But if you're getting on 380 tonight, you get on the highway, there'll be a yield sign there. What are you yielding to? You're yielding to the flow that's already going. You're come on now. You're yielding to that flow that's already going. You're not trying to force a flow. It's already flowing. You're just yielding to that flow. Isn't that right? I said you're yielding to that flow, and you're getting in that flow, and that is called an exit ramp or an entrance ramp, depending on if you're getting off or you're getting on. Isn't that right? And so what you're doing is you are yielding. God puts a yield sign by every test and trial. When you come up to a test and trial, you'll find a yield sign there by God. God put a yield sign there, and he'll say, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, yield.
Amen.
But people see the yield sign, they go, and so they never get into the flow of the greater one who will put them over in that situation. You know what John 7:37 is? It's a yield sign. Here's a way into the flow of the Holy Ghost that'll get you out of your test and trial and get you into the flow of the greater one.
Amen.
Pastor Jay, that's good preaching. I know it. You should show it on your face.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's a yield sign by every test and trial. Paul and Silas got in jail. They had a test and trial in Acts 16. And they look up and there's God flashing a yield sign. In other words, there's a way into the flow of the greater one to get you out of this. And so they prayed and started yielding. Hallelujah. Praise God. Earthquake came and shook that place. Got them out of there. You aren't going to get out of your test and trial without a yield sign, without responding to the yield sign. Amen. Israel put singers up front in a battle that they were getting ready to encounter. And God said, this is by every test and trial, God puts a yield sign up. Not a yield sign for you to yield to the test and the trial, but a yield sign to get out of that test and trial and into the flow of the greater one who will get you down the road. So they got into the presence of God. This great big, well, actually, three armies together came against them here in this situation. And so they got in prayer, and they were in prayer and looked up, and there's a yield sign. I'm using that to illustrate the way they got out of it. And God said, here's the way you get out of this one. Put the singers up front. And you go out to the battle singing praises to God.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, that's foolishness. Listen, it worked. And it'll work for you.
That's right.
Because God's the same today as he was back then.
Yes, he is.
You know what it is? It's an expression of faith. When you praise God because of the greater one on the inside, he'll get you through that test and trial because you're expressing your faith.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The devil's used to people yielding to worry. He puts up a yield sign too. Yield to this test and trial. Worry about it. Be afraid about what's going to happen. Be in unbelief about the word of God concerning this situation. He's used to that. He's not used to people looking up and seeing God's sign and acting on that. But let me tell you what happens when he does. He knows his heyday's over. When a man responds correctly. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
We're not creating a flow. We're just entering into the flow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And guess what that flow will do? It'll get you somewhere. Somewhere you're not right now. Just like when you get on that highway, you get in that flow of traffic, it'll take you home. Isn't that right? It'll get you somewhere. It's going to get you out of where you were into something that you wanted to get into. Aren't you glad God gave us a yield sign? Praise the Lord. But sometimes people don't realize they have to do something. It's not just a sovereign thing where God just you know, God didn't just sovereignly move for Paul and Silas in that jail, did he? They tapped into that flow. That's a flow that's on the inside of all of us to put us over. He's in there right now, but you have to tap into him. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm gonna have to feed on this myself some more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't think Christians ought to look like they're sucking on a prune. All this stuff that's getting in everybody else, trying to get in you and me, because we're no different. It tries to get in us, but we can just keep it out of us by the greater one flowing out of us, flowing out of us. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. See, get it off of you. Get it off of you. It's one thing for stuff to be going on around here, outside of your life. That's one thing. But it's your job to keep it out of you. It's your job to keep it out of you. Amen? And you can do that. You can do that. Why? Because there's someone in you that'll help you do that. He's standing by. He's standing by, and he's ready. When you tap into him, he'll rise up on the inside of you and start putting you over. Start putting you over. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. We watched in healing school, we watched person after person receive their healing doing just that. Praise the Lord. I don't think we ought to be like the world where we get everything that goes around. I was telling Pastor David today, I was up at the ranch a while back, a couple of days ago, and I was cutting some stuff with a chainsaw, and one of the logs kind of fell on this finger, and it's bleeding real bad, you know. I mean, I'm thinking, man, I might need some stitches or something like that. But I just kept on working, really. And I couldn't use that finger. I'm holding up my middle finger while I'm working, you know. Not exactly my middle. This is this one. But anyway, so I got home and, you know, just said, Father, thank you for healing it. And that thing healed up so fast. I just told her, I said, it just seems like everything heals up real fast on me now. Just heal. I believe it's because there's more life in me. More life in me. Yeah, more at almost 51. More at 51 than there was at 35. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe our whole life ought to be supernatural, don't you? Just our whole life ought to be supernatural. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes nowadays I walk around the house about half the day, sometimes all day long without my glasses. Just my eyes just seem to be getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I never really even put my faith on and said, Father, I'm claiming, you know what I'm talking about? But, you know, just life, 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 life. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. But, this isn't just for Wednesday night. This isn't just for, see, you can't have surges of power. How many of you, when you go home tonight, you don't want a surge of electricity in the lights and whatever, if you're turning on whatever you're turning on, you know, heater or something. You don't want a surge and then nothing for the rest of the night. You want something constant, something constant. And that's the way God's plan is, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. You know, his plan is not that we just have our weekly bread. Give us this day our weekly bread. Is that what he said? No. Be daily filled. Get daily fed. Daily.
I mean, sometimes if you're going through a test and trial, it needs to be moment by moment. Yeah, you might need hourly to go into the restroom, you know, and just go in, close the stall door, just go, whoo, thank you, Jesus. Take another drink. You know, I'm just getting a little too sober, so I gotta stay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We came out of a Holy Ghost meeting one time in, I don't remember what town that was, somewhere in Alabama, I think. And I could be wrong about that. But anyway, we was full of God, full of the Word. We'd just been preaching for days, and full of the Holy Ghost, and had a Holy Ghost meeting. We went into a restaurant, and we're just full. Where was it? New Mexico. And we're just full. And there's people beside us that they look like gangsters. Maybe the Mexican mafia or something. We couldn't tell. Yeah. And I mean, they're looking at us, because we're just happy. You ever been in a restaurant just enjoying the presence of God, fellowship with somebody else, and you look around and realize everybody's looking at us because we're strange, because we're full of joy and we're full of the Holy Ghost? I don't mean you're being weird, you know, like falling off the chair laughing or anything. You're just full of life. Full of life. You ever done that? Well, that's what happened. These Mexican mafia guys or whoever they were, I mean, they're over there eating, but they're looking at us. Pastor Debbie got a prompting to turn around and share Jesus with one of them. And she just put her hands on the table, just about ready to turn around. They jumped up in the middle of their meal, ran out the door. They did. Well, see, they's full of something other than what we's full of. And they didn't want free from that, so it drove them out.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You see, it drove, did you hear that? Drove them out.
Drove them out.
Praise God. Well, greet your neighbor and say, that stuff that's been bothering you, now you know how to get it off of you. Amen. Come Sunday full of love, full of the joy of the Lord, and let's watch some people get saved. What do you say? Amen. You're dismissed.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.